right, and welcome along to the Golf Community, a beginner's journey where we talk all things golf and encourage participation and connection for new players. We cover golf clubs, golf balls, golf shoes, golf courses, coaching, tips, techniques, health, fitness, fun, friendship, events, and catch-ups. All right, so let's get into it. Welcome back, and today we introduce Stacey Coppins, an NZPGA trainee professional and Titleist Performance Institute coach. A wife and mum of two kids, Stacey's had a long career in golf, beginning her beautiful journey at the age of four with her dad and then joining as a member at the age of eight. She fought her way through playing in men's competitions and understands the challenges for women coming into the golfing environment. Through teaching her mum how to play golf, Stacey found a real passion for helping women get into the game and encourages women to play through her coaching and organising of events. Stacey also has a women's golf apparel online store, importing a clothing line to help women feel more confident on the course. Okay, so hi Stacey, welcome along to the golf community. It's great to have you here.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Yeah, thanks. So where are you based at the moment?
Recently moved down to Tauranga, in June.
Very nice, very nice. And before there you were in Wainui?
No, I was South Auckland, so I was Waiuku.
Right.
Yeah, and out at the airport at Dayfest. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. So let's start. You've had a really interesting golf journey, starting from the age of four by the looks of it. So tell us your story.
I started playing with Dad when he was a shift worker. So often on the weekends he would go and play golf. And then and if he had an evening in that, he would go and play and I'd get to go along. And I think most of the time I'd just ride on the trundle and pick flowers. And I remember, like, because it was at the army camp and there was those loquat trees on the side of the fairways and stuff. And I remember, like, eating the fruit, and I don't know how much real golf was played, but I was out there and I had some clubs and I had a few hits, and he was pretty patient. And then at age eight, I wasn't allowed to join the club until I was eight. So when I turned eight, I was like, okay, I can join now and I can play. So he joined me up at the golf club and I went and played. And I think by about 11, I had won the club champs. I remember this little kind of argument with the women that Dad sort of fought to allow me to play just with the women and not have to play with him all the time. So I remember going out and doing that, and it's just sort of growing up in the game. So I just had loads of people around me that really supported me to be able to play, and I was very lucky. Judy Hayhow being one of those. I don't know if you remember, she used to be part of the Auckland rec team, but she was also, her husband Bruce was the manager of the golf club at the time and things like that. So just very, very lucky. And she, once a month, she got all the junior girls in Auckland. There weren't very many of us, and we'd go and play different golf courses. And what's really cool now is that a lot of those girls, I wouldn't say all because it's not quite all, but we're actually now giving back to the game in some way. So we've become coaches or ambassadors, or some of them are fully qualified, some of them are doing their traineeship, and some of them are playing, you know, or have had influence in the game in other ways. So it's really quite cool to see that, you know, that group of girls coming full circle, yeah, and then giving back what we were given. Yeah,
share that as well again, I guess, in some of those stories.
yeah. I feel like I was lucky. I was lucky to grow up in the game.
I think you find that a lot of people in any sport, if somebody loves a sport, they're going to nurture you and bring you in and give you as much as they can and as much support. And obviously with Dad there for so long,
and you being there since you were four, it was nice to actually see you still carry on and take it through.
Yeah, so I did have a big break from the game. Like at 18, 19, I went over to the States. I worked in a summer camp and I was teaching golf at in the range there. And I remember ringing Dad and going, I don't want to, and I'd had a look and I was sort of getting to know the culture over there. And I remember ringing him and saying, I don't want to do this. And I had this big long list of reasons of, you know, like my argument per se. And he just turned around and he just said, okay, then come home. And it wasn't what I expected, because it was always, you know, I was always doing it for me and I was always just well supported. I was never pushed. When I came home, I then felt a bit lost, I think, because I obviously that pathway of getting a scholarship into the States wasn't something I wanted anymore. And there weren't that many opportunities for young girls in New Zealand in that sense either. So I sort of bumbled around and played sort of the men's pennants for the Waikato and things like that, for Waikerie Golf Club. And did a few things like that. And then I just thought, there's nothing, you know, there's no next step here for me. And so I completely stopped playing for about 10 years. And
that was in your 20s, was it?
Early 20s, yeah. And so I went off and I went into real estate and, you know, had kids and did all that stuff. And then had a bit of a rough time with a particular employer in real estate, and it took me a wee while to get better from that, and then I said to my husband, I don't want to be in real estate anymore, I think if I could still play I'd like to go do my traineeship. And he was like, you're crazy, but that's what I've done. So I started off just doing the Gateway program because I wasn't sure if I could play, but there was another opportunity within coaching without doing the traineeship to still teach. And I think that Gateway program is brilliant for those that are passionate about the game and want to give
programs. Stacey?
It allows you to be a PGA coach and be supported by the PGA in terms of your education. It means that you can work for a full PGA member and support their programs. It means that you can work in the industry as a coach, but you're not obviously going to be fully qualified, so you won't have all of the information available for you around club fitting and repairs and things like that, or even just a really in-depth understanding of some of the principles around coaching and the different technical bits, but certainly enough to be an advocate of the game as a coach and be out there teaching you know, young people and people who are getting started, and just have the support and some of the information to be able to do that without actually having to play at a high level to do so.
Right, okay. So after you gave up, you came back, you did the Gateway.
Yeah, Gateway program.
And then what did you do from there?
And then I managed to get my handicap back, and I was playing all right. So I thought, oh, well, I can apply. So I did that and started my traineeship in 2020. So I'm year two at the moment, and I am still struggling with the playing a little bit. I've had a number of injuries. Just from, I think, how much playing we actually do. So that's kind of holding me back a little bit at the moment, but I'll get there. At the moment, I'm off, I'm out, I can't play. I broke my hand and, yes. So I've got a little bit of a recovery to go there, and then hopefully we'll be back next year to finish that off.
Yeah. Okay, so can you put that on pause for a little while? Oh, that's good. That's good because you kind of need your hand, right?
A little bit, yeah. I might have to go join the All Abilities Golf or something.
Well, they'd love you there too. They'd love you.
A little bit of a taste of, yeah, what it's like to have to modify things. And, yeah, but I'm sure I'll get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you're passionate about the game, right? And so it's going to, and you're still young.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, to be honest, I remember saying to when my coach, when I went back from, I said, oh, I'm too old to play. I'm too old to play like that now.
Well, fortunately, the good thing about golf is that we've got, you know, it's a game for all ages, right?
Oh, absolutely. But I just thought, you know, at that level, I thought, I'll never get back there. I'm too old. Oh, that was such a strange mindset when I look back on it now. But yeah.
And I guess it's because we kind of see elite sport as a window of certain ages if we're actually really going to excel. But, you know.
Yeah.
I guess because then we start breaking down a little bit, right? And we have other commitments as well, like kids and work and responsibilities.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And then, you know, you kind of just, you know, you look at it now and you see people come through and they go, oh, I want to get down to a, you know, 5 handicap or whatever. And as a coach, you're like, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, as a player myself, at one stage, I didn't think I could do it. So it's interesting. Yeah, I know how wrong I was, but that's okay.
What sort of handicap do you need to go into some of these programs and things?
You don't need a handicap for the Gateway program. So I've got, when I left Auckland, I had a futures coach, and she has taken on, gone through the Gateway program after I've left, and to be able to carry on working with the kids.
Oh, great.
That were out there, so that's really, you know, that's really cool. So no, there's no handicap requirements for that. The program is there and the support is there to not necessarily be a top golfer to do it, but I think if you're a good teacher and you understand how to work with people, it's, you know, you can do it. In order to do the traineeship to go down that pathway, I think possibly for the girls, the handicap of 5.7 or something, or I can't remember exactly, but there is a handicap sort of indicator.
Right.
So they may be looking at changing it. And for the guys, I think maybe somewhere around a 3 handicap or less.
Right.
And then there's the playing standard that, so the handicap kind of is your entry requirement. But then when you actually get in and you start playing, there's a playing standard of 6.75. So that's not handicap, that's just over the par of the course, and that's your average over 16 rounds.
Okay.
And the guys, I think, must be 3.75, or it could be 4.75. Sorry, I'm not sure, but but that's if you want to do that, then yeah, there is certainly at this stage a playing requirement. Yeah.
Right. I guess that's when it comes into the golf professional. I guess you assume that they would have a pretty good handicap.
Yeah. I mean, we do assume these things. So, you know, at the end of the day, we all get old at some point and can't do that anymore. So it's, you know, yeah, it's an interesting space for sure. You know, you look at sort of other sports, you don't have your great coaches in some of our other sports certainly haven't played at high levels all the time. Quite often our really good players aren't particularly good coaches and vice versa. So, it's interesting.
Yeah, and I guess we've often sort of said, you know, in any sport, you know, the best players aren't always the best coaches. But you can have parents coaching kids in any sport. But I think when it comes to golf, it becomes, you know, quite technical. I mean, when you learn right from the beginning, probably like any sport, you know, you've got to really get those basics down pat, because if somebody's just teaching you kind of basics without really knowing what they're talking about or something like that, it's probably you'd pick up some bad habits to start with. And
yeah, but I think at some point, I mean, you've just got to pick up the club and go and play. there's a real mentality around actually having to learn to play the game before you can go and play the game. And it's what I really love about the She Loves Golf programs, is that it's really about actually on-course experiences and getting out there. And then if you do decide that, hey, I want to get the ball off the ground, or I want to stop using a tee, or I actually really enjoy this and I'd like to have less than 13 shots on a hole or whatever, then yeah, sure, some coaching would definitely help. But I look at, you know, the futures pathway around parents teaching their kids, and there are some really cool tools and resources out there to help parents now, and they don't have to be qualified coaches to support their kids. Yeah. I know Dad, you know, Dad taught me. I had Gillian Bannon was my first coach. I remember having a few lessons with her, and you know, a few other coaches along the way, but Dad was predominantly my main coach and main influencer of the game. So yeah, I think there's a real value of having parents involved with their kids in the game,
And then just getting out and giving it a go.
Don't play. There's, you know, like I see women all the time, they're like, oh no, I need to learn to hit before I can go and play. I'm like, just honestly, just play, just get out. But it's hard. There's real barriers to getting out there and playing on the course. And it's because, yeah, we have this perception, and it is a technical sport. It is really hard, but that doesn't mean that you can't just go and play. I mean, if you shoot 100 for 9 holes, nobody actually cares. Like, are you having fun? Are you enjoying it? Just go do it, you know? Yeah,
and that's the beauty of the She Loves Golf, and just getting out and giving it a go. You know, it's just get out there, have fun, see if you like it. And I really like the social aspect of it. Actually, I love the social aspect of golf. I like, you know, you can just book, well, normally, you can just book with, and I'll normally try and find another woman, even if it's in a foursome, you know, my husband, but try and find another couple or something like that. And it's always nice just and refreshing to meet new people all the time.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. So obviously you're quite passionate about the game and you've been playing for a little while. I know you're still sort of, I think you still class yourself as a beginner. Absolutely. I think I read that somewhere. But it is interesting you say about wanting other females to play with, even in your group, if you go out with your husband. And that was one of the big things that I picked up with mum learning to play, was she said, like, it's great going out with Dad, but he's constantly telling me what to do, and it kind of frustrates me. And I remember sort of saying to her, well, would it be better if there was other women who were learning to play, and then you could go and play with other women? And she's like, oh, that would be amazing. And the social aspect, I think particularly, I mean, it's there for the guys too, but they have a different, you know, it's that kind of rah-rah and, oh yeah, I bet you can't get that in, or, you know, dollar a hole and all that sort of, that real betting kind of competitive psyche comes into the game a lot. Whereas with the girls, it's not like that. It's literally just the chatter down the fairway that they enjoy, and the encouragement of a good shot, and having someone who understands that for her that was a really good shot, you know. I think there is a massive need for that support, that social support, when getting women into the game.
Yeah, and we see it a lot when just like the other day when Golf New Zealand, they put up a post about sort of, you know, and next week we can probably start playing four balls with others again. And there was a whole lot of people saying, look, I'd love to start playing with somebody new. And, you know, there's a lot of women that are out there trying to get into the game, get some encouragement and meet new people. So the She Loves Golf is great. So you're a passionate advocate for women and youth. So tell me, why did you pick this group other than being a woman? So why did you sort of pick this group, and what are you doing there?
With teaching women?
Yeah, and you.
Yeah, originally, like, being in South Auckland, when I kind of said to my husband, I want to go back to this, the drive was really around growing the game. I know that's kind of like a taboo kind of slogan these days, but actually getting getting more youth playing, because I noticed that in South Auckland a lot of what was available for kids in terms of events and things had just completely disappeared over the years. And that'll just be because there were really passionate people there doing stuff, and they've gotten older and stopped doing it, and it just fell away. And so I sort of, my main thing was I was wanting to get in and teach kids. And so that's what I was doing. I was running junior programs and holiday programs and events for kids where they could get out on the course, and working in with NZ Golf and their family team golf and things like that. And just kind of getting more kids to experience golf, going into schools and doing that sort of stuff. And then I was really lucky actually that one of my mentors is Stuart Thompson, who he worked in the first tee and has worked by thousands and thousands of kids growing the game. And it was also in South Auckland. So I was really lucky to be able to learn from him. And he just is very generous with his time and his resources and his, I could go and watch any session that I wanted to go and watch. And he was brilliant. So I was very lucky. And then I went from that to mum, so I said, hey, you're going back to golf and that's really cool, and dad plays and I want to learn to play too. And I thought, oh, well, you probably need to find a coach just to help you, because it's probably not gonna be that comfortable learning from dad. And she said, I'm looking at one. I was like, oh no, I haven't taught adults, I don't know that I want to do that. And it was just through she was like, no, come on, we'll give it a go. I said, okay, all right then. And so I had done TPI, which is the Titleist Performance Institute, and some of the biomechanics and things. So it wasn't like I didn't know anything, but I was still fairly new. And so we went on that journey, and then just through that kind of realised, all of those, I don't really see it because I grew up in the game and the golf course is like a home. But when she would go to the golf club and she'd go, well, who do I talk to and how do I do that? And what do I say? And what if I say the wrong thing? And what am I supposed to wear? And what if I'm not wearing the right thing? What if someone says something to me? I don't know what club to use. What if I break one of the rules in our rule books, how thick? And just realizing how tough that is. And there was almost anxiety around it, even just walking into the club and she would get really tense on where do I go and who do I speak to. And I kind of realized that there was learning to play the game is more than just learning the skills as a golfer. And so as a coach, I think it's influenced me hugely in terms of what I do when a new player comes in. It's not just about the golf swing. There'll be conversations in there around, how are you getting on with playing, and have you met, these other people, and are you aware of, these, and just like kind of try and take them on that journey and ease that a bit, because it's really tough. And being there at the club when they first come in, so that they know they're looking, I know they're looking for me, but I'm actually there rather than, having them wait. Well, sometimes they turn up way too early, but just things like that, just being aware of how difficult it is for them.
Yeah, and I think that's amazing too, that you've been able to see that with your mum and your mum's anxiety and being able to go, well, look, there's a really great opportunity to try and encourage other women into golf and ease those fears.
Yeah, so we started off with, it was just mum, and then we started doing some like social range sessions with other women, and kind of grew. I've got a social media group for our girls where they're all together. And then what I noticed is that they were coming to the range and they were enjoying that social time, and we'd go have a coffee afterwards, but they weren't going out on the course.
Right.
So from that, I then introduced once a month that we would go and play a different course in Auckland, and I'd organise it all for them. And it didn't matter, I would always ring the shop and say, look, they're brand new, can we just have a little bit, of When are you quiet? When's there not going to be too many people around? They didn't have to play every hole. They didn't have to play the whole nine holes. They could play four or six, or they could, you know, play alternate shots with a friend. There was no real rules around that. It was participation. It was getting them there and getting them to have fun on the course. So that sort of started off probably about 2 years ago. Great. And it just grew and grew and grew. And then I realised that sort of I couldn't really keep it up anymore because my coaching business was getting busier and busier. And so one of the girls who was one of our beginner golfers now organises those games for the girls. So they've kind of, yeah, there's kind of been, and there's other leaders within the group that will organise trips away with each other and things. And it's really quite, it's kind of come into its own, which is really, really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I think, you know, that's the fun of it, isn't it? That's like you can go and meet other people and groups like yours, groups like the She Loves Golf, and then you find a couple of people or a few women that you kind of click with, and then you can go, okay, let's go and play this club or this course once a month, and or this one or this one or this one. And just have some fun because there's some absolutely beautiful courses out there. And there's so many of them too, isn't there? You kind of think, I think there's what, 390 golf courses in New Zealand, something like
yeah.
that.
It's you're like, a lot. that's a lot. Yeah. So yeah, no, that's kind of, yeah, my, and so I've just become really passionate about it because I just love it. Like I actually just love working with women in the game and seeing them improve and seeing them really like kind of grow into their own within that space, because there's so much that they can kind of do. So yeah,
it's yeah, exciting. And I think it's really good too, because like I learnt with my husband, although he couldn't teach me. Like the first time he did it, it didn't work out well, so I never played again. And then I just picked it up this year, and right from the start we said, like, you can't coach me, right? It's not going to happen like that. So I went off and got some lessons. I got four lessons and then just went to the driving range, and just because he's quite competitive and I think so am I. And so when we play together, it becomes like that, even though he's better than I do. So I really like connecting with women so that I can just relax and just have fun, and it takes the pressure out of it for me. I think I work myself in to my own anxiety playing with him compared to getting a group of women and just relaxing and having fun, and it doesn't matter and you just enjoy it and you probably look up more and enjoy the day.
Yeah, because the other thing I find when you play with golfers is they can be quite focused, so they're gone, like,
yeah,
like they've hit and it's gone twice as far as you, maybe even three times. And they've walked off and they're like way up the fairway, and it might be off the side so that you don't hit them, but they're gone.
Yeah.
Whereas when you play with your other girls that are maybe also beginners, you kind of plod. I use the word plod, you know, loosely, but in terms of the balls, you can just wander down together because you might be either side of the fairway, but you'll be in a similar area and you can just sort of walk up together and hit your ball and walk up and hit your ball because you're actually together. And that's what I think makes a big difference when you are out playing in that, so in that with the women, you're together in that space.
Yeah And that's nice. That's like part of the Ambrose and things like that when you're first starting, because I remember when I initially tried to play with him, I would just spank the ball, and I spent my time in the trees throwing the ball out or just picking it up and just wandering off, and it was kind of spent by myself while he was hitting the ball and having a great time. And I'm like, what, trying to find my ball amongst
and the then trees. You feel like you're rushing because you feel like you're holding them out.
Yeah. Whereas
you probably spend the same amount of time on the hole, but you've managed to walk together.
Yeah So the good thing is you can just go, you know, with the Ambrose, you just go pick it up and all come back together or something. Yeah. And go, okay, well, let's have another go and gaggle and chat about it.
Exactly. I just watch them sometimes and they're still talking while they're playing their shot. But that's what it is for them, you know, and then that's the whole thing. And yeah,
Because not everybody's there to, you know, shoot their best rounds. You know, when you get together as a group of women, they're just, it's probably time away from the young kids, you know, stress relief from work, all that kind of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Too, absolutely, just that connection. So I did see when it comes to youth, I saw an interesting qualification there. It's the Circle of Courage Youth at Risk. Do you do that? I thought that would sounded fantastic.
When I worked in the outdoors, so I was in outdoor education for 5 or 6 years, and I started off just as an outdoor instructor, but ended up in the management side of things, actually teaching staff, you know, on the equipment and things. So through that, I had really massive opportunities because all that work was mostly with youth. There was the occasional corporate group and bits and pieces, but most of it was with youth. And part of my role towards the end, in the last 2 years that I was there, was actually program delivery and creating programs to meet certain requirements. So a school or organization would come in and say, oh, we want to get youth leadership out of it, or we want to get we want to get them working together better or whatever. And so my job was to come up with a program that met those goals. And part of what we did out, because it was with the YMCA, what we did work a lot with kids who had, you know, come from pretty horrible environments or upbringings, or just upbringings that you just wouldn't really wish that on your own children ever. And how broken they were, and their lack of trust in people, and they're often in really unsettled home environments, that even though they may have been removed from an unsafe environment, they were perhaps in a foster home that was temporary. So that you've got all these kind of emotional issues that go on with that. And so that Circle of Courage program that we did was around how we talk to and support those young people that are going through that trauma. Often you'd see it with kids, particularly in the camp space, where they would just, they call it absconding, where they'd just run, they'd run. So their anxiety levels are so high that their fight and flight response was like on overdrive. And obviously keeping ourselves safe, but then also trying to keep them safe in that environment. So it was really around, yeah, how do you talk to those young people, and how do you support them and help them kind of grow and feel like they can operate from a space of courage rather than from fear all the time? And just kind of not like understanding how much influence you can have over young people, even just with, you might just have that brief moment with them and it could actually impact their whole life.
Yeah.
And, you know, and as adults, I don't think we often realize that. So it could be a negative experience, but it can also be a positive experience. And I think that whole program really kind of opens you up to, it makes you quite vulnerable, but it really opens you up to understanding just that moment that you took to sit on the step and talk to them and try to understand them, is they could carry that for the rest of their life.
Absolutely. It could be, yeah, very pivotal.
Yeah. So I don't necessarily do work with children like that anymore, but I think I do work a lot now. I often get children with ASD and autism and things like that, and there's some transferable things within that, but I haven't worked with at-risk youth for a while. I don't think there's another term that they use now. I think they've moved on from at risk in terminology, but it's something that I think I always just hold with me, especially when children are struggling. Their behavior for me is always a window of opportunity to understand something that's not right. And often when children do misbehave, they might misbehave in a session. I don't believe they're being naughty. It's an opportunity for me to learn about them.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I think, you know, it really gives you a broader perspective of coaching and coaching in that arena.
Yeah. And I think, you know, where I think sometimes that stuff comes in is, particularly I think with my journey in golf, is it's made me who I am in some ways. I'm a bit of a rule follower and I certainly have a lot of respect and empathy for others. And I think those are some of the things that the game just teaches you, and it teaches you that resilience. And, you know, I remember being disqualified from a tournament because somebody had written my score down. They had transversed the numbers on the hole. So where there was a 5, the next hole had a 6 and it was around the wrong way. And I remember being disqualified and I've been quite heartbroken about it. But, you know, these are just the things that you kind of learn that as you go along in the game. And, you know, sometimes things don't always go your way in life, and it's the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
You can't always control everything that goes on. So, I think when I have young people in the sessions, I'm not just teaching them a golf swing, but hopefully they're actually gaining some life skills that they'll carry with them well beyond just the game of golf.
Yeah, because I think there's a lot of resilience and patience and skills that you learn in golf.
Courtesy, you know, like things like shaking hands and actually looking at someone when you shake their hand and taking your hat off at the end and things, you know, that we learn as sort of your basic rules and manners and courtesies out there they can take with them. Yeah, for sure.
Great. That's awesome. So tell me maybe the highlight of your career.
As a golfer, the one story that's popping into my mind at the moment, I'm sure there's many, but is I was lucky growing up. I got to travel a lot around the country, and I don't know what's happened to them all, but there used to be sort of all your under 21 events and under 19 match play and stroke play championships. And so I'd often be away doing that sort of stuff. But highlight though. I do remember when I was playing men's pennants for Waikerie, and there was it was a bit of uproar, I guess, about it because I was female, but it wasn't handicap pennants, it was off the stick, and I was playing off the men's white tee, so there was really no advantage gained at all. And I remember playing, I used to play, I think, about number 5 in the team, and I remember one time turning up to this event, this pennants game, and they had put me in as number 2 in the team, and I was like, well, what's going on? Like, I'm not, you know, I haven't all of a sudden gotten better this week kind of thing. And they had, I think they had intentionally set me up against one of the guys who was quite against women playing in the men's pennants. And I finished the match all square, and he shook my hand and he said, well, if you can play like that, then I really don't have a problem with women playing in the men's pennants.
Wow.
And I think for me, the reason that that's a highlight is because I think it really had a bit of influence on a perspective of people or that people held. And I don't particularly want to play against men now. It's not, you know, but for me at the time, that was where I was at, and that was, there weren't a lot of opportunities when you were really trying to push yourself out there as a young person and a female. So Now I'm more of an advocate for let's get more women playing so that we can have a stronger competition within women and we don't have to merge across into men's fields to do that. But yeah, I think it's I still hold that with me. Definitely. Yeah.
It's a historical moment.
yeah. You know, just to have actually had, to have been able to use my skill to influence someone.
Definitely.
Yeah. Powerful. Yeah.
Powerful. All right. What about just sharing some do's and don'ts, just some simple do's and don'ts that we should probably, as beginners or for the woman out there listening, keep in mind when we are playing?
One thing that I think do's and don'ts, yeah, is I think just be aware that, like, when you're playing, often we'll leave our bag a mile away from us. I see it all the time and they're like, it's just stop. I don't know what it is, actually. I haven't really figured it out, but they stop. They leave their bag and then they walk like 5 or 6 metres, maybe even 10, to their ball with their club, and then they hit their ball and then they walk all the way back to their bag and then they start walking again. And I think, I don't know if it's because they're scared they're going to hit their bag or what it is, but like, put it beside your ball, bring it up next to you so it's right there. And same with like where you leave it around the greens, put it somewhere where you're going to walk off to go to the next tee. That can be hard because you don't always know where the next tee is, but just that little bit of forward planning, and it can actually just help. Yes, kind of not necessarily speed things up, but make it a bit easier out there.
Yeah.
What else would be probably don't be afraid to ring ahead and find out if there's a dress code at the golf club for beginner women. So if you ring out when you're making your tea booking and just find out, and just let them know that you're still new and find out if they've got a dress code, because I know a lot of golf clubs are relaxing the dress code, and particularly for new women coming into the game, and I think it's a good thing. I think that we need to make it more accessible, and at some point they might decide, well, actually now you're playing club golf, so the dress code applies, we want to have that etiquette in place. But you know, a lot of them are quite happy for you to not wear a collared shirt and to wear leggings. So, you know, if that's what you're comfortable playing golf in the golf club will allow it, especially when you're still new, then go for it. Like, it's absolutely fine. It's kind of, I wish more clubs would advertise it, to be honest, but it's definitely worth asking the question so that when you do turn up, you're feeling comfortable. Yeah. There's nothing worse than feeling underdressed or overdressed, you know? So,
definitely.
Yeah. Definitely. And just, I think, just ignore the negativity. Like, sometimes you'll come to the club and there'll be some person and they've got some comment to make about women being on the course, or I've heard it many times where, and more times than I actually like, but that we should be home doing housework or something. And it just, it really grates me a lot. But I think we've just got to kind of, if you're feeling strong, then put them in their place for sure, because it's not really ideal and it shouldn't happen. But just don't let those sorts of comments put you off the game, because they are a real minority,
and they're probably from the older generation, right, that are not
in my experience. Yes. And I sometimes I wonder if they think that it's funny. I'm not sure, but you just kind of think, oh, in this day and age, it's, you know,
I think they're just so set in their ways, some of them, that they probably do. That some may think it's funny, but I don't think you'd say it if you thought, I don't know.
I don't know. It's just something that I hear and I'm like, oh. Yeah. I'm at work on this golf course, for goodness sakes, you know. But yeah, we have, and I think the only other thing would be like the not all advice is good advice. So when you're out there and people are, you know, often they'll give you tips and pointers, and it really depends, because they're not necessarily trained coaches, or and it doesn't, it might not always translate correctly for you. And so sometimes, yeah, you not all advice is good advice. I've had girls standing on the tee with guys in, you know, having a laugh behind them, just kind of heckling them about, oh, show us your swing, girls, and think, and it just, I think it really bothers me. I think it needs to stop. And I think if men are listening to this, then please don't do it. But as women that are going into the game, is I think just know that they are a real minority, and just it's good to have other girls around to talk about it, and just, yeah, just ignore them, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
It's probably the worst part of getting into the game is just those real minority experiences that you may unfortunately have. And not let it put you off the game, because not most people are not like that.
No, that's right. Most people are encouraging, and yeah, you know, you definitely find the men are always willing to give you, you know, a little bit of helpful advice.
Yeah, and sometimes it's great, and know that it's coming from a really awesome place.
Yeah,
but sometimes it depends how you interpret it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I find that I just say thank you very much and just let them talk sometimes, you know, and then you kind of decide, oh, yeah, that's right. I am moving my head all the time because I'm the world's worst head mover. Like, you know, and it's nice that they just go, oh, you're moving your head a lot, just keep your head down. And it's like, oh, that's a really good reminder, because I know I do it, and then I really focus on it for a little while and kind of get into it. But it's just sometimes they'll go, just a little piece of information, you get sort of, oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
You think about it sometimes, isn't there? That's like, you can't think of everything.
No, no. But honestly, just let some of that stuff go and just go and play, you know, go and enjoy it. And yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's certainly still an interesting space. Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just great that we can be part of sort of helping it to, you know, helping encourage women and not sort of worry so men. I mean, the men are comfortable in this space, so we just need to be able to bring the woman in to feel just as comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, we do definitely have like beginner men that are like, oh, I wish you'd do something like this for us, you know. They definitely have, you know, and certainly happy to help anybody really that wants a help in the game or help getting into the game. I just think the social need for women is so much stronger. Yeah. And that's why sort of things like clinics and little group events are becoming more successful in achieving it.
Yeah. And I guess it's sort of, as when we're with so many responsibilities in our day, as well as working and the kids and everything like that. And it is something that we tend to take responsibility for, to be able to have these opportunities where you can just go, okay, once a week for said amount of weeks, this is my time, and I get to go and meet some great people and have a glass of wine and, you know, learn a little bit about golf and hit a few golf balls.
Yeah, which is why like this, you know, four holes, six holes is great, because that, you know, and obviously when I did my groups in Auckland, they didn't have to play the whole nine, which meant that they could turn up, play five holes, and they've got some other commitment to go to. They've had their golf, they've had their social time, because we would always do our coffee first, so that any girls that sort of left through the game had that catch up beforehand. So so you know, they've spent an hour and a half at golf, and now they've got other commitments to go off to, but they don't feel challenged or pressured to have to do the whole nine holes and spend 2 hours on the golf course and then also have coffee, you know, and have, you know, now you've spent 3 hours, that's half of your Sunday gone, and not everybody is fortunate enough to have that much time, especially if they have got kids. So having
time consuming, isn't it, in golf?
It's all, you know, and the other thing is we've got this perception, because the guys or, you know, our partners, husbands, whatever, they go out, and the whole Saturday they're at golf. Like they've gone at 7, they teed off at 9. Yeah, so they traveled there and warmed up, and then they spent 4 or sometimes these days 5 hours on the course playing 18 holes, and then they've gone and had a beer afterwards. And everyone's got this perception that golf has to take all day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's I guess trying to break that down a bit and just go, it doesn't have to. You can go and play 4 holes. It doesn't, you know, if 3 holes is your jam, then do 3 holes. So it doesn't matter, do you know?
And I think that's probably with the girls, they probably like to go, oh, have we had enough? We've had enough. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, let's go have a wine.
That's enough for me today. Wine's great.
Well, it's starting to get really windy and rainy and I'm getting a bit cold, so can we stop? Like, yeah, why not? Yeah.
We do. Yeah. It's like, yeah, because if we go out with my husband and it's raining, he's like, oh, should we just finish the 9? It's like, well, okay, you finish the 9.
Yeah. I'm going to go in. That's why you've got the other girl with you, eh? That's why you like to.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, well, should we
you,
go?
You two, off you go.
We'll see you back at the club.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good strategy.
Coming back. All right. So let's just wrap it up with, what is your favourite course?
Ooh, I used to say that Waikerie was my favourite. It still kind of is, but I got the opportunity to play Arrowtown last year.
Oh,
yeah, that's a really cool course. Yeah, it's really picturesque, and there's a few interesting challenges. You look down the fairway and there's these big rocks. You're like, I could land on those, you know, and it just creates this real challenge, and just such a beautiful part of the country, and I really enjoyed that course.
Nice.
Yeah, I have to say that.
I think I saw a flyover a few weeks ago and I thought, oh, that's so pretty, and I think that's a girly thing, you know, we go, oh, pretty.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty, but it's really challenging. It's a course that makes you really think. It's just such an awesome part of the country. So if anyone gets a chance to go and play that course, I haven't played, to be fair, I haven't played Millbrook or the Hills down there. But that Arrowtown, I think, is a really neat golf course.
Nice, I'll put that on my list. All right, what about your favourite golf club or your sort of go-to golf club or whichever one you like best?
In my bag? Oh, my putter.
Right.
Yeah, definitely my putter. I like other clubs in my bag, but that's definitely one, yeah, that's my favourite.
Makes all the difference, you know.
It's probably unusual. Most people hate their putter. They hate putting, but no, I'm quite comfortable with the putter in my hand.
Nice. All right. And then what about your favourite golf ball? What are you
using? I play with the Titleist Pro V1.
Okay.
I've tried others. I can't change.
Pro V1s too that I need to get rid of for a fundraiser. We should
talk. Oh, have you? But I didn't. I did have the opportunity to put my name on them, and I chose not to because I sometimes can end up in some interesting places, and I didn't want to
cross. Like, Stacey,
what was she doing over here?
She's everywhere. Interesting though, you had a chance to put your name on it.
Yeah.
With Titleist.
Just as part of our traineeship, we you know, when we fill out the form, we can just get them standard or we can have them printed with our name.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it could be really quite dangerous. No, I don't tend to lose too many balls, but yeah, there'd be the odd one around that you're just like, how did you end up here?
God, those balls go anywhere, don't they?
Oh, it's the ball's fault. That's right. Yeah,
that's right. It couldn't possibly be your fault.
Yeah, yeah.
And what about, just to wrap it up, your favourite quote?
Favourite quote, probably be, and I don't know who it belongs to, I'm sorry. So, right. Or I'm quoting, but is, you don't get what you wish for, you get what you work for.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I just think if you really, really want something, you can't just hang out and hope it happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like a great game. It's just you've got to work consistently at it, or anything, right? Anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and if you want, you're going to have to give up on some stuff in order to achieve, if you really want it, you know?
Some sacrifice.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Hey, Stacey, it's been great chatting to you. I've really appreciated you taking your time out just to sort of jump on and talk to some of our listeners and encourage women and youth to play. So all the best for, are you going to start building up programs in Tauranga?
Yeah, so based in Fairview now. There'll be a few other courses that I'll do a bit of work at too, but at the moment, mostly at Fairview, so which is just south of Katikati.
Right.
And yeah, we've got our women's and youth programs coming through, and yeah, looking forward to a busy summer.
Yeah, definitely. As long as we can all get out.
Yeah. Yeah. That Auckland border is a bit of a. Isn't it? Well, they say they might release it. They might bring it down for Christmas, maybe, if you.
They really need to, but we won't even talk about that.
If you're following all the rules, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. So if we want to get hold of you, or we want to sort of find out more about some of your programs, how do people get in touch?
They can just give me a call, or I've got a website. It's just stacycoppinsgolf.com.
Okay.
And yeah, just give me a call, send me an email, join in a program. I do use, I will advertise through the NZ Golf website too, so if they're looking at the Futures program or She Loves Golf stuff, when they pop up, they'll be loaded up on there as well. So
great. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, hopefully you girls can get out and at least play locally for a while.
Yeah. Well, I think we've managed to organise a couple already. So, yeah, like I'm all in. I've got nothing else to do at the moment, though, because I can't work. So, and I'm just lucky that I can't. I've got golf, because there's not many sports that can play at the moment.
Yeah. Golf. Yeah, we've got our youth out at Waiuku running with the kids that were already playing. But, yeah, it's pretty strict. It's not like a normal youth program. It's got some, you know, safety measures in place to keep everyone separated, which is not how kids kind of operate. So it's interesting, but it is nice to see that you girls can, you know, you can get your girls together and go and play, and not just with one bubble and things like that.
Yeah, we're broadening.
Hopefully that will continue.
And it's exciting to be able to get out and meet some new people too. That's what I love about golf.
Yeah. Are they going to run, do you know, some She Loves Golf events? Or?
Yeah, they have. I assume so. It was just encouraging people to sort of connect, I think, at this stage. But I'm sure they will.
And golf clubs are letting green tea players in now or not?
I think as of next week they can. You still have to be an affiliate at this stage.
Yeah.
So you can't be just walking off the street at the moment, but.
Yeah, fair enough. Could you imagine how busy they'd be?
Yeah.
Being like only sport they can play.
Yeah, exactly. And I think even with our club up here in Whangaparoa, and on the weekends it's just chocker, you know, with just anybody trying to play. So,
yeah. Oh. What line of work are you in outside of? Well, obviously you're doing this, but.
Secondhand golf. So we recycle golf balls from waterways.
Yeah.
And help clean up waterways, which is pretty cool, which is sort of I got that through just starting to play golf this year. And then it was like, I saw a golf job come up and I'm like, oh, I play golf now. Can I do that? And they're like, yeah. So
I'm that's like, so cool. You're like, I'm a golfer. I can do that. I can
play golf now.
So did you, you took that job. Oh, so is that your, it's not your husband. It's, no. But you do. You do all the social media stuff for it.
I do the sales and marketing and get the golf courses on board.
Ah, yeah. Yes. What did you do before that?
Before that, I was selling real estate. Ah. I went and sold real estate. So when you said, you know, you used to be a real estate agent, it's like, yes, I know that. I'm so with you on that.
Yeah, I hope they didn't break you, though. It was, it's horrific, that industry.
It is a tough industry. It is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, at least I'm not doing that anymore.
We'll wrap up on that. It's been great to have you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll send some, put the links and everything down below, and best of luck with the journey.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So as always, we've loved connecting with you here at the Golf Community, A Beginner's Guide to Golf. We appreciate your support, so love us and like us, subscribe and connect using the links below. And as always, we would love to share your story, so contact me and let's get you on an upcoming episode. So as always, from the Golf Community, ka kite anō.